All right, I'd like to continue on in our study of Ezekiel's vision of the river flowing out of the temple. And I entitled it The Anointing because we see that word used, and I really know that in full gospel circles, we talk about it often, and it's good to encourage each other with how many aspects of the anointing presence of the Holy Spirit influences our lives or impacts our lives. Today, the first scripture I have for that would be Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. And this scripture is very prophetic. And I want you to be thinking about Jesus. So we're kind of going to look at two time periods. Verse 27 of Isaiah chapter 10. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now I've heard many people say the yoke will be broken because of the anointing. But my Bible says it'll be destroyed. What if you have other translations? But I want you to think about that. And while you're there, go to Matthew chapter 11 and see where this... You'll see this scripture come back. Matthew chapter 11. And think about what we just read in Isaiah about this anointing thing. And it's good. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. See if you see the similarities. There's an invitation given to us. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what happens when the Lord destroys the yoke that's kept us bound, the yoke that's kept us back, the yoke that's kept us from. Sometimes a yoke is a good thing. It keeps us from running and getting ahead of the Lord. Generally, and I saw this in India, a lot of the farmers had teams of oxen or water buffalo for work animals, but they yoke them up like we would yoke up oxen or horses. I've seen work horses here in Vermont. I grew up in an area where I worked on a farm during the summer months from school, and they would usually take a weaker one, less experienced, and yoke it with a stronger one, more experienced. And so when We wear a spiritual yoke, if you will, and we're yoked with Jesus, he being the stronger one, the burden becomes light because he carries the weight of that. But we have to be willing, because it says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I can tell you for Faith and I sucking water out of our cellar for the last 9 or 10 days in a row, I'm not so much interested in the yoke as I'd like to see him show up with a big bucket. Just saying. But the incredible duration that we've been doing this, and the strength to do this like every 45 minutes out of every hour of every day for 11 days, except when we sleep and we put cloths down to soak it up at night so we can get some sleep. Scriptures like this are very meaningful to me, and I know that the anointing and the presence of the Spirit of the Lord in our lives and upon our lives gives us the strength to do seemingly things that your body would get so tired that you just couldn't go another step. And yet we do, and we do that in the Lord too. There's sometimes where you're praying and believing God for a breakthrough for something, and it seems like you've come to the end of something, and it's just not quite there yet. And that anointing presence of the Holy Spirit in your life will give you just what you need to get to that other side of what you've been waiting for. And the anointing on Jesus was and is the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Now, we read that scripture for the night of praise. And it has to do with what Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. But I had read the portion in verse 3 about putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And sometimes it's amazing how burdens are loosed and we become free from them through praise and worship. And it says, put on the garment of praise. It doesn't just happen by itself. Israel's armies went out and fought great battles, but they sent the praisers out, the praise and worshipers out first. I can't imagine doing that today, how with the weapons that are available, you wouldn't think of something being so powerful, but I believe that it really, you saw the effects of that. It befuddled the enemy so much they were fighting themselves. Because one of these, look at these people out here just running around praising the Lord. We're still going to take the city. Oh, Priscilla?
What was that in Isaiah?
Oh, I'm sorry, Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. And this is where Jesus got up in the temple in Luke 4, 18. And he quoted that verse. And when he finished it, he said, and this scripture is fulfilled in your ears today. Or today, the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And that's another time when they wanted to rise up and kill him, or at least throw him out of the synagogue, because they just could not fathom that he was the Messiah and that he was those words fulfilled. And so we see that. In fact, Luke 4:18, if you read that in Isaiah and go to Luke 4:18, it's almost identical, because it was written and Jesus was speaking what was written. He spoke often from Isaiah and the Psalms. And you'll find it in Luke 4:18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And every line of that is power-packed. That's what the anointing is for in the life of a believer. And I don't know who finally sent God an email and said that he couldn't do that stuff anymore. That's not for today. Boy, I hope the FBI intercepted that, cut it off, because that would have been a bad message to send the Lord, wouldn't it? But somebody took it upon themselves to do that. You know, a dear sister of ours that is now home with Jesus, the night that she was getting ready to do herself in her kids first before her and then herself, one last desperate attempt to hear from the Lord. You all heard her testimony. She opened up this verse and got to the part where he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And she got saved that night. And she spared the lives of her kids and herself. And she lived for a lot of years to enjoy the grandchildren that came as well. Oh. I've been involved with 6 people since I've been saved that were ready to commit suicide. And not one of them did. One guy had the rifle between his knees and the barrel of it in his mouth. And right out of nowhere, I said, I need to call Chuck. I need to call Chuck. And I called him. And he took his finger off the trigger and answered the phone. A man that meets with me on Tuesday nights, a year and a half ago, he came loaded with horse tranquilizer because he was going to kill himself that day. And his wife told him to call me, and we met down here just in the middle of the day. He's the most recent. But there's such this thing about the anointing. We use that word, but we're really talking about the power that's available to each of us as believers to accomplish incredible things, empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit. I would never tire of talking about him or speaking about him. Acts 10:38, another well-known verse. But I know that these are put together with the intent of God really wants us to know these things in the last days when we really need to know about these things even more so. There's still so much more. What I have is a little blip. But it started with Ezekiel's vision of that river of life that flowed out of the temple. Everything that river is the river that's inside of each one of us. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. A long time ago, I wrote this up in the top. I said, how God anointed Rick of Chester with the Holy Ghost and with power or authority, who went about doing good. And Jesse will confirm that. He always tells you, you're doing good. You're doing a good job. He's told his military authorities over him, you're doing a good job, and they want to whack him, but they won't. Because he's not being insubordinate to his superiors. He just has this thing about seeing good things that people are doing, and he's very perceptive to that, and I so appreciate that. But here again, you see that word anointed again. And it means empowered. And look at what it does. It's going to cause you to do good. If you let it. If you let the Spirit of God lead you, you will always be doing something good. Something that will bless the Lord, but it will also be a blessing to others. Because that's how we live it out here on the earth. God already knows, but when we live it out with one another and in the goings on and in fellowship with different people that we have saved or unsaved, notice this word, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You see, that's what destroyed the yoke. It was the anointing that destroyed the yoke that held that person bound. They were oppressed of the devil. And we always have to remember that when we are going about and hopefully hearing from the Spirit of God to help people. Sometimes Sometimes I get a phone call from a few individuals, and not mentioning any names. And I wasn't particularly focused on somebody calling me, but as soon as they did, it's like high gear kicks in. It's like you just feel a sudden surging of something within you to pay deep attention to the words that are being spoken. I found I can be a lot more effective if I listen. I don't have all the answers, and I'm not ashamed to say so, but I can sure help hook you up with the one who does have them all. And together, something good is going to happen because of the anointing presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. To those who don't recognize the work of the Spirit, they don't talk about the Holy Spirit, they are missing so much. I know he's normal to us, isn't he? But yet he's supernatural. And he's not like Casper, who comes and goes. He's still the friendly ghost, but he's not Casper. He's way beyond. This word oppressed, it means under the influence of, under the power of, or controlled by. You know, in our Bible studies Wednesday nights, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the various manifestations, this is where discerning of the spirits comes in. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give us the spirit that's controlling or influencing another person to cause them to live out their life influenced by either the Holy Spirit or other spirits. But we have to really guard our hearts to not be judgmental, but ask the Lord for discernment. What's the spirit that's operating behind the scenes that's causing that person to say what they say, be the way they are, or do what they do? And so all of this thing about the anointing is all connected because it abides within us. We don't have to go looking for it. It's already inside of us. The spirit man. First John 2:20, we did that one already when I very first started that. John said, and the anointing which you have received from him, you don't need any man to teach you that, because the Spirit himself makes his presence known, and you learn by the Spirit. It's nice if somebody maybe points that verse out once in a while, but you don't need anyone to teach you that. You already know something's different. Couple other notes here. The anointing is God's spirit and power for service. The military, when I knew it and was part of the military, we all were trained to go to Vietnam. It was my generation back in the 60s that a lot of us, there was still a draft. But I remember how they did everything they could in such a short period of time to take a large group of people and have us for 8 weeks and make little clones out of us all to fit the needs of the military for that time. But I didn't really see the bigger picture at that time because I was worldly like most of the GI friends I had. You know, the party life and drinking and cavorting and all of that. But the seriousness of what we were trained for was for service. When we took the oath, we took an oath of office, if you will. And I'm going to read that at my brother's funeral in a few weeks. I'll be gone one Sunday at the end of the month. And flying to Florida to do a 30-minute celebration of his life. He was 20 years in the Navy, and I want to talk about the oath that he took. I want to talk about all the ribbons and the awards and the medals that he got during that time, because he was just like me. We were just literally raising hell all the time. And he would have never known that he could have been such a responsible person to have received all of those awards that the military gave him, because they don't come cheap. They're not going like buying a pack of Oreos. But the character, and when it's like we're that way in the Lord now. We have a godly character, a godly nature about us, so that that's where, and then we're empowered to serve the Lord that way. So it came at a great price. In the military, a lot of people lost their lives. And we're in service to the Lord. We're in the army of the Lord. There's lots of good peppy praise songs written about being in the army of the Lord. And many of you that have been saved and maybe been in other Pentecostal churches would have heard some of those songs and sang them and rejoiced. But you've been empowered and you've been trained. And things I learned in the military that I thought I'd rejected a long time ago, I found how much more helpful they are to me, because it's easier to live a disciplined life having had that ingrained in you for such a short amount of time, but yet it lasts a lifetime. And in the Lord, the Spirit does the same thing for us. He works these things into our lives, because we never know when somebody's going to call you. You never know when you're going to have an opportunity to meet with somebody that may be going through a really difficult time. And you've been anointed, you've been empowered, you've been enabled. You hear the voice of the Lord, and you have the right words to speak to people when they come to you. And I'm so happy to be here that I'm not the only one that has answers. You have answers. And that's why I believe that this body is unique. Because we talk about ministry all the time. We're all ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. You all do things for the Lord and in the Lord. And I love talking about those things, because that's where we get our encouragement from. Take that next step. Dare to face another day. Don't stop with today and its disappointments. Today's just half over. It's just getting started. There's lots of time for God to do all kinds of good stuff this afternoon. And be ready. I'm waiting for a big water bucket to show up at my house. Who knows? I might get there and he supernaturally dried it up. I don't know, the super sucker. I don't know. But I'm believing for that. But never neglect the reason that you have the anointing. It's not so much for you, but it's that you contain it to help somebody else. And always remember that in the Lord. It's not so much about us. It's about the people that God sends into our lives. Maybe not daily, but he sends people to you, and you know that. And so you have what it takes to make the difference. And I'm not quite done with this yet, but we'll carry on. Jesus has provided the same presence of the Holy Spirit for us in our earthly ministries that he had in his earthly ministry. And he said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Did that ever cause you to almost stumble at that sentence? What are the greater works? The body of Christ is multiplied all over the earth. He was only one man with 12, and look at what they accomplished. And we're multiplied by the millions all over the world now. Those are greater in numbers even. And the capacity to reach people was far greater. Look what he did with a boat and 12 men. Amazing. Look at all the people you've touched in your lives and made a difference. Because your life does make a difference because of the anointing that you have. There, I'll stop there.